This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. And from Nashville, Tennessee, I'm your host, Gary Holt. And joining me in the great Show Me State of Missouri is our co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning, Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. I've gotten used to 105 degree heat index, so I guess we'll survive this thing.
Sticky, sticky, sticky. I know it. I tell you what, I've been getting my horses out every day, and they're feeling it.
Well, I'm sure they are, and I know we're all looking forward to fall and some cooler weather, but we have a pretty hot show today with some great guests, so let's tell our audience who we have joining us.
Absolutely. Today we have the lovely Susanna Gibson, founder and publisher of Trailblazer Magazine. Then we travel to Blairsville, Georgia, and talk with Sonia Alexander, owner of Track Rock Campground.
All right, so this is going to be a fun, fun show, and we remind our audience that Saddle Up America is made possible by our great sponsors in the General Store. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the Western and equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net, and by our great show sponsors, Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. You can shop online with Trailhead Supply today at trailheadsupply.com, and by TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. Learn more about TrailGuard at trailguard.org. So grab a big cup of coffee, take a deep seat in that saddle, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with one of our favorite people, Susanna Gibson. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world on our free mobile app and online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Traveling in my boots, I'm gonna breeze along and lose the blues. Stand anywhere, I don't care. I got traveling in my boots. I've gotta pay my cowgirl dues. Nothing but city smoke to lose. My horse and I, we're on the fly. We got traveling in our shoes. I'd like to be lazy and stretch where it's shady by some little stream. Dream by the hours among birds and flowers where no one can break up her dreams. I got traveling in my boots, and I'ma wear my buckskin suit. I've got the flair for catching air. I got traveling in my boots. Oh. I'm gonna breeze along and lose the blues. Just anywhere, I don't care. Got traveling in my boots. I've gotta pay my cowgirl dues. Nothing but city smoke to lose. My horse and I, we're on the fly. We got traveling in our shoes. Well, I'd like to be lazy and stretch where it's shady by some little stream. Dream by the hours among birds and flowers where no one break up her dreams. I got traveling in my boots, and I'ma wear my buckskin suit. I've got the flair for catching air. Got traveling in my boots. My horse and I were on the fly. I've got traveling, the traveling blues in my shoes.
Well, that's one of our favorite little cowgirls, Kristen Harris, and that's Traveling in My Boots from her new CD that's just been released, Down the Trail. And on August 13th, Kristen will be joining us on the Campfire Cafe, so be sure and mark your calendar. But right now, we have one of our other favorite cowgirls joining us, and that's Susanna Gibson. Hi, Susanna.
Hey, good morning.
From Smoky, California. How are the fires up?
Yeah.
There?
Well, the fire is south. I live in Central California. And the fire is south, but it's bad. But we were blessed and blessed and blessed. We got, and this is a big deal for California, we got 2 inches of rain in an hour.
Oh, wow.
On Sunday.
Wow.
That's
great. I know. I mean, that just doesn't happen. And I just think God said, let me help you put these fires out. So, but then it was 90 degrees and still is 90. So I think this is called humidity. It's something I really don't know what it feels like, but I don't like it too much.
Well, you can come back here to Tennessee and visit. We have been where the actual temperature has been maybe 93. With the humidity, it's added about 10 degrees, so we've been running about 103 to 105, and sticky.
Stellar.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Thank you. No, thank
yeah.
you. That's the
but
time you need to... Get on your horse and go up 10,000 feet elevation and get out.
Get out of town. Hey, you had a great suggestion about a topic to start with today, and I just love this. And it's going to take all three of us, I think, back down memory lane. Let's kind of start with you. You said you want to talk about buying your first horse. And so tell us about your first one.
Well, let's see. I would have been, I started out reading every Black Stallion book, every Red Stallion book, every, you know, Black Beauty, all of them, before I was 6 years old, I think. I was just into horses from the get-go. I mean, I think you're either are or you aren't, as far as really having it in your blood, the cowboy and the horse thing. So I go through and I'm buying shoes and purses and all kinds of stuff, and all of a sudden I was about 25 years old and I thought, what am I doing? The thing I love more than anything else is a horse. I'd like to buy a horse. And so the man, I worked at the Chamber of Commerce at the time, and the guy had horses, and he says, oh, I got a horse, I'll sell you. And I was so excited, and I don't know, I'm dying to hear you guys' story, but I didn't have a clue. I did not. It's not like I worked at a barn or, you know, helped out ahead of time. I just, bingo, one day you have a horse, one day you don't. Didn't know about seat, didn't know about anything other than the Black Stallion. Couldn't apply too much of that to the story. So, he sold it to me for $250, and I went out to get her, and she had a six-month-old or a yearling foal at her side, and she was pregnant. So my one horse ended up being three horses.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yep.
What a buy.
Yeah, what a buy indeed.
Yeah.
And I just went, oh, my gosh. And he had a world champion Appaloosa stallion, and, you know, his horses were pretty good ones, but, I was just so overwhelmed. I mean, what are you going to do? It's not like I can say, oh, well, I can't take the baby inside her. I got to take that baby and this other baby, she needs a home, you know? And
right.
So there you go. And so I had rented a field about half a mile from my house. And I started down the journey of all these horses and not knowing what to do and just literally learning from the ground up. And back in those days, we didn't have the clinics and the books and the DVDs and the Trailblazer magazines to teach you how to really be a responsible horse owner. You just, you know, there wasn't, I think Western Horseman magazine was really kind of it.
Right.
Horseman magazine and Horse and Rider, I think, and then Equus came along quite a few years later. So made lots of mistakes, but I was in my, to me it was glorious. Three horses, oh my gosh, you know. But I didn't know how to train them. I didn't know how to ride them. I didn't know how to do anything.
Gosh. Well, that's kind of a different way to get started. So with that original mare that you bought, how long did you have her?
I kept her till she passed.
Okay.
She was out in California. The Madonnas were a real well-known name for the Madonna Inn and cattle and all the daughters, and everybody did barrel racing and won championships. It was a big deal. Well, apparently this mare, her name was Clabber, and that was an old-time cow horse line, and mm-hmm. she was pretty close up on the line. And so she knew how to do games. She knew how to do the keyhole and pole bending and barrel racing and all the different games. She already knew how to do them. So my little sister and I was 25, she was 15, and we'd head out every weekend and go to the Gymkhanas, and we just hung on because the mare totally knew it. I mean, I still sit here this morning, I was thinking about her doing the keyhole, and I mean, she would be at a dead run as she headed into the keyhole. She'd whirl on her hind legs and come out straight. I mean,
oh,
we
wow.
won hundreds of ribbons. But then she started to lose weight, and you know, I kept giving her like more grain, and she was on pasture, and we gave her hay and everything. And so the vet came out and says, okay, well, let's see, what is she? She's a mare, she's a quarter horse. He said, how old is she? And I said, you know, I don't know, I think she's 12. And he just howled. He goes, sweetheart, this mare is not a day under 25.
Oh wow.
And I said, oh, and he opened up and he said, see, she has no teeth. And I said, I said, oh, okay. Write that down. Look at the horses, you know, all these, I mean, I didn't know to look at her feet. And she had arthritis and all. Well, then right at that time, then I met somebody that was going to do endurance riding. And so she gave me an Arab gelding, 16-year-old gelding, and we were actually taking that gelding and this poor old mare out and trotting down the road, you know, 6 and 8 miles, and she did it. I think she was arthritic on all four legs, so you really couldn't tell she was lame.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she was symmetrically lame on all
four. She was lame everywhere.
And I'm not laughing
yeah.
about that, but it was just right. old age.
Right.
So I kept her till... gosh, I bet I kept her for 5 or 6 more years until she got to the point where we needed to put her down. So, but she was a great one to teach us, because one of the funnier things with her is that we wanted to practice. I mean, we were having a ball. We wanted to practice back home. We wanted to do the keyhole 20 times in a row. We wanted to do barrels 40 times in a row. And that just wasn't her personality. And finally, after about 2 weeks, she just planted her feet, and she said, no mas, no more practice, I'm not going to do it. And we couldn't get her to do anything. So what we'd do is we'd go to the show, and we'd saddle her up, and we'd, you know, take her to the front gate. And as soon as she went in the gate, you kind of had to let her go right away, or she'd get mad. And back up to the gate, and then you were over. So,
right.
So you bring her in the gate, and off she'd go. But we could. She says, "Nope, not going to practice." You know. By the way, I'm 25 years old. You know. So she was. But I just think she was the most amazing horse for what she did, and I don't think we abused her. I think she liked doing that stuff. Or believe me, she would have planted her feet and said, "I won't do it." So.
Oh gosh, that's funny. That's funny. Well, you know, we run through our time quickly. I'm not going to let Tina May, and I'm not going to tell my story either, because that was just such a good story. That was interesting. But I would expect that she was just the beginning of many, many more. And you've just kind of led up into a topic I want to get into for the next half of this segment. And we're going to do that when we come back from a quick break. But just as a little teaser, we want to talk a little bit about how the horse world has changed. Excuse me. in the 37 years since Trailblazer has been publishing. But right now, we're going to talk.
I started publishing Trailblazer at 10 years old. Did you know that?
I thought that was the case. I thought that was the case. But anyway, we're gonna talk about that too. You must have been a horse trader. No, I'm teasing you.
Just a horse lover.
But anyway, let's talk about one of our great sponsors, and that is Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. With their storefront location in Kalispell, Montana, Trailhead Supply doesn't just sell packing supplies. They stand behind every product they sell, and they use them. Trailhead Supply is your online source for the very best in camping gear, horse packing equipment, and horse riding gear. You can shop with Trailhead Supply today online at trailheadsupply.com. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Susanna Gibson, Tina Mae Weber. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
Time is the beat of the heart when you dance with the one that you love. As you glide across the floor with the one you adore, and the moon smiles and beams from above, the hours go by in a minute or so. Too soon it's the clock's midnight chime, and you waltz through your dreams until finally it seems the world moves in three-quarter time. Fiddles and mandolins weave their cocoon round the rhythm from a border guitar. Music takes flight and revolves through the night till the tune seems to hang on a star. So come, take your place, take my hand, take my heart. Let our feet join the rhythm sublime, and we'll balance and swirl to the end of the world. Forever in three-quarter time. Border guitar. Music takes flight and revolves through the night till the tune seems to hang on a star. So come, take your place, take my hand, take my heart. Let our feet join the rhythm sublime, and we'll balance and swirl to the end of the world, forever in three-quarter time.
Well, that is the Horse Crazy Cowgirl Band and a great song, three-quarter time, but not the one I meant to play. So it was a great song, but I was going to play one about Everything I Need Is on My Saddle. So anyway, we'll do that one another time. But maybe I was thinking about that dance that we missed. I don't know.
I know.
We'll I'll get you back out to Tennessee next year. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about some of the changes over the last 37 years in the demographics of horse ownership and the different philosophies that have come about. And some of that goes back to what you were talking about when you first got started with that gift of the three horses, the 3-in-1 package that you got. How have things changed in the horse world? What's the difference in the folks that are primarily out on the trails today versus what it might have been almost four decades ago?
Oh, boy. I think four decades ago, a lot of horses, I don't know what percentage, but they were still being used for work. Cowboys were still, you know, rounding up cows, and I think it was just kind of the beginning in the first one or two decades of using horses for show and, mostly show ring kind of stuff, reining and the show horse. So it was kind of transitioning over at that point. So the changes, I think, now my background is endurance riding.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally believe in my world, in my sphere, that endurance riding made the biggest contribution to the betterment of care for the horses. Because they have a no drug tolerance on any level. So you can't even compete in the sport until your horse is 5 years old, which means they're grown up. They're not racing two-year-olds on the track like they do on the track. And so if you have to go 100 miles and you can't use drugs, the only thing that's going to get you through that and get your horse through that is proper training and absolutely the best horsemanship. Because if your horse limps or gets dehydrated or anything, I mean, you're out of there. Those vets pull them on the spot. And so that's where my background came from was, and so endurance riding was always looking for the better shoeing possibilities, the better saddles, the better gear, you know, kind of like NASA. If you go to the moon, a lot of the things we got from there was better stuff.
Right.
And that's what we got from endurance riding is that we really, really learned to, because it was so, so important on saddle fit, because, the saddle had to fit, but after 50 miles, if it's rubbing somewhere, your horse is going to be sore and you're going to be out of the race,
mm-hmm.
out of the
mm-hmm.
ride. Mm-hmm. I don't like to say race. So I think that's a lot of what I've seen in the changes is better equipment, better feed, understanding, companies are really understanding how very, very important it is to feed yourself, your dogs, your cats, your horses, the best feed and not just throw junk out there for them. And I've really noticed a big difference in that. And just all the products, the going to the natural on fly sprays, that sort of thing, people understanding more with the type of trainers and clinicians that we have nowadays,
mm-hmm.
understanding that you don't have to beat a horse to make him do something. If you ask correctly in the right language and give him a chance to do it right, the horse will do it right. One of the things that has not changed that literally breaks my heart is the show ring, the way the horses are abused so, so badly. A lot of the gated ones, of course, but even in halter classes, that sort of thing. I don't understand in today's world why that continues on. I just don't get it. All they
and
have
on
to
that.
Do is, yeah, I was in Kentucky just probably 25 years ago, and there was a show, and I hate to point the finger at the gated, but you know, they had that abuse with the feet and everything. And I was so excited to go see them because I'd never really seen gated horses. And I went to the fairgrounds and I walked around, and I don't want to sound ooey-gooey, but I had to leave. I couldn't be there because those horses were so abused and terrified. You just could look in their eyes. And I've never forget what that felt like. And so that's, if I want to go a call to action, that's something I sure wish would change. There's no reason why that should go on. That it can be stopped in a New York minute by simply making the punishment worse than what they get for beating those horses up. So sorry to get off on my soapbox, but it just...
Well, that's okay. And but one of the things, and this I think was something that really kind of applies to you as well as so many other people, and that is the fact that you got your first horse when you were in your middle 20s. And a lot of the riders today, and I'll use myself as an example, and Tina Mae, you can pitch in too if you want to, but I grew up with horses for over 60 years. I've never been without a horse. And so there were some things that we just knew because that's what we grew up with. We had healthy, slick horses, and most of the time. Sometimes they got a little bit thin, but that was because of, you know, not enough pasture and that type of thing. But we grew up knowing how to take care of horses. Today, we have a lot of folks that maybe have gotten into their mid-20s, but quite often we're finding people that are in their mid to late 40s that are just getting into horses for the very first time. And they don't have the advantage of having grown up with those horses. So it's something that's totally new. And don't you think that's been a big part of what's brought about the demand for more information and the rise in the number of clinics and clinicians that are out there?
Absolutely, 100%.
Absolutely.
Yep. Because like you said, when
and
you
I
grow
think-
up on a ranch, you know about, you know, riding your horse hard, but cooling them out. I mean, the true horsemen and the cowboys and the people who had horses that worked, they took really good care of their horses because those were not just recreational animals. They were, you know, animals that got them where they needed to go.
That's
right.
And they had a string of horses. They didn't use the one horse all the time for the job. You know, they gave them a chance.
And they also let the horse be a horse. I do believe also there's extremes. You know, there's also people that over-pamper their horse, and then they have horses that get sick, and they colic and things like that. And then you have those, you know, you go from one extreme to the other, and people are starting to realize that, you know, you need to let the horse be a horse. Those are your healthiest horses. And,
yeah.
Shoot, I had the backyard horse that we used to, we was all wallowed all over it and fed it oats and hay, you know, and that's, and used to have a hot shoeing, you know. I remember all that. And as far as Wormer, an old man had told us to feed a few cigarettes. We used to take the butts off and feed the horse cigarettes for a Wormer. But, of course, the horse never left their place. But, I mean, today people have put an investment in the horse, and they found out things, what's good for the horse, what's not so good for the horse. And people are wanting to know that. And I also think that, you know, some of the late bloomers is what's caused these clinicians to come out because they wasn't around horses. They didn't get the experience, and that's
right.
How they're learning.
Well,
and
we
that's
had,
what I am so proud of with Trailblazer, because we've got that, the endurance background, which simply means that we look at the horse holistically.
Right.
You know, everything has to do, you know, getting him down the trail and having the horse be happy is his feet, it's his tummy, it's his the saddle, the bit, how you ride on him. It's the whole package. And I'm just going to say it. There just isn't any other horse magazine out there today that covers it the way that we do and at a level that we do that's really important, sophisticated stuff, but presented in a really fun, easy to understand, you know, way with pictures and humor and all of that. And we've had so many people, I mean, just every month people telling us that they've learned more in Trailblazer magazine because of the way that we present it and the type of people that we have writing for us. And of course, I give kudos to the Trailblazer staff for that. Bobby Joe, you know, being the chief editor, and Diane and Denny and Terry, folks with Trail Advocacy. I mean, we just have a small but mighty staff, but we're single-minded as far as what we want to present to people. And I just think that we really, it's a collective effort from all of us, because we all happen to be on the same page of the type of information. And we've been running a wonderful series with Jamie Jackson and Jill Willis on what you mentioned, Tina May, about, you know, creating an environment for your horse where they can be like in a normal environment. But you got to read Trailblazer to read about it, but it's just brilliant about how you can take a pasture and make it be kind of a, you know, not an obstacle course, but to put tracks around the outside where the horses can run and different things. And we're just always looking for new and different things.
Well, you've got a great magazine, and I think this is probably an excellent time to just brag on the fact that.
You mind?
let's talk about the. You just were awarded 3 awards from the AHP.
Yeah, we were, and there was I think a little over 800 entries. And big magazines. I mean, Equus, Western Horseman, all of the big guys. And I'm not real big on entering contests. It's just my thing. But I do it every couple of years for the staff because they deserve it. I mean, our writers and the people. Sue DeLaurentis writes an amazing column. Sean Patrick actually won one of the awards for a series on training his horses. So we won cover, which is really hard to get. I mean, it's really hard to win, you know, to get in the awards on your front cover. But Trailblazer's front covers are just
they're gorgeous.
Out of this world.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Very artistic. And then Sean Patrick won in the editorial division on his take. And then we had a whole design series. So we won in design with Diane Payton, who's our design coordinator. And so we won editorially, graphically, in every way, and we were right up there with the best. And the last time I entered, or the first time, well, not it was the first time, but a couple of years ago we entered, and we actually won best of show.
Oh, wow.
I mean, here's little Trailblazer, and we beat all the big guys best of show because we're just good. we're just very, very different. And I think it just matches the trail riding philosophy of free and fun and a smorgasbord of visuals and all that stuff. So we were very Bobby was at the award ceremony, and she was just beside herself texting me and telling me that we had you know, broken through and gotten up into the award ceremony. So I'm very, very proud of that.
Well, it's a great, great magazine, and let's tell folks how they can subscribe and where they can find you.
They can go to trailblazermagazine.us.
All right.
And it's only $39 for 11 issues, and it's worth absolutely every penny. I mean, everybody tells us, I mean, it goes without saying, but every single person, one of the things they always say is, we never throw them away. We keep them for reference. We keep them because they're like a coffee table book. They're so beautiful. So it is a reference thing that people don't just leaf through it and then throw it in the trash. They keep it because it's valuable.
Well, it is. It's a great magazine, and they have a great owner and publisher who is dedicated to improving people's lives with their horses. And you improve our life every month when you join us on the show. And it's just a pleasure to have you with us every third Tuesday of the month. And you don't know how much I look forward to these shows with you.
And please do remember that I was 10 years old when I started the magazine.
I remember that. I remember that. Just a child. Just a baby. Just a baby.
Just a baby.
Well, just love having you with us. And time goes too quickly, but we are going to take a quick break and come back and talk with Sonia Alexander, who was just a baby when she started Track Rock Campground and Stables in North Georgia. And Susanna, again, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. I'll see you next month.
All right. See you next
month. Thanks, Susanna. Congratulations.
Thank you so much on behalf of our staff. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. Don't go away. We'll be right back to talk with Sonia Alexander.
Wildcat Kelly, looking mighty pale, was standing by the sheriff's side. And when that sheriff said, I'm sending you to jail, Wildcat raised his head and cried, oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in, let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in, I wanna be by myself in the evening breeze. Listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in, just turn me loose. Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise. I wanna ride to the ridge where the west commences, gaze at the moon until I lose my senses. I can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in. Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western sky. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise. I wanna ride to the ridge where the west commences, gaze at the moon until I lose my senses. I can't look at hobbles and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in. Don't fence me in.
And the second half of our show is brought to you by TrailGuard 24-hour roadside travel assistance. You can find out more about TrailGuard at trailguard.org and Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horsepacking supply store. You can shop with them online at trailheadsupply.com. And we have had more people that have had comments about the fact that they want to head to North Georgia and visit Track Rock after we posted this show yesterday. And so we're going to welcome the owner of Track Rock Campground and Stables, Sonia Alexander. Sonia, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Sonia.
Hi.
We are so glad to have you with us, and we've really had a lot of folks that have been interested in learning more about your place there in North Georgia. And I guess the first thing I'd like to talk with you about, Sonia, is how did Track Rock get its name?
My sister-in-law is here with me.
I'm Debbie Alexander, and I manage our campground and cabins here at Track Rock. And Track Rock got its name. The area was a Cherokee Indian winter campground, and the area is very rocky. And when the Cherokees were here, they left a lot of carvings and petroglyphs on a nearby rock, and hence, after years of people seeing the Track Rock rock, the entire area of our community was named Track Rock. So our founder, Sonia's father, Tommy Alexander, named it Track Rock.
All right. And we're happy to have you with us, by the way, Debbie.
Well, thank
Hi,
you.
Debbie. Hi.
We talked about the fact that Susanna Gibson was only 10 when she started Trailblazer. but Track Rock has been around for at least a half a century, and Sonia, you were just a child when you got involved with it and started running
Correct.
Track Rock. Tell us about that. You were just a baby.
Well, my parents started in 1966 is when we opened it. We had 3 buffaloes and 17 campsites and 3 horses that were borrowed from someone else.
Oh,
and
wow.
And then we started getting our own horses. And then when I was 14, I took it over from my father. because I was felt like I was doing most of the work and not getting paid enough. And at that time, we had 7 horses of his and 1 of mine, which he was graciously enough, kind enough to give me the horses. And after just a year or two, then we kept on running around, you know, between 20 and 40 horses. We have 60 here right now.
Oh, wow. Wow.
But I got a contract with a YMCA camp out of Atlanta that used a local camp up here. And I did their kits in the afternoons and did trail rides in the morning and weekends.
Wow, wow, wow. Well, so you've just started managing this, 4 or 5 years ago if you started at 14?
Yeah, right.
Oh, gracious. Well, you know, you're talking about the number of horses that you have, and I know that Tina May loves to talk about facilities, but one of the things, before we let her pitch in, is the fact that a lot of folks, particularly on Facebook, when they found out you were going to be on the show, wanted to find out if they can bring their own horses and if you have horses for people to ride there. And I think the big interest was, do you have horses they can ride?
Yes, we do. We that's what we do for our main business is a rental business. They are guided trail rides, and it's for 1 and 2 hour rides. In the wintertime, well, sometimes to 3 hours. But we only have 250 acres,
okay.
And we're surrounded on 3 sides with the wilderness. But that's not the same as national forest, and we're not allowed to ride in the wilderness area.
Okay. But you are close to additional areas that people can trailer to and ride if they.
We're right up against North Carolina, and there's several facilities there where you can ride for days.
Okay. All right.
And you can get there within an hour.
Okay, and Tina May, I know you wanted to, you love to find out more about the facilities, so jump right in there, girl.
Yes, facilities, and we'll talk a little bit more about the trails. Sonia, thank you for being on the show, and Debbie, you as well. Tell us a little more in detail about your facilities on your place and what you have there.
Okay, as far as the campground, we have 5 cabins and 110 campsites. We have a 3-acre pond that we fish in, and we also have a swimming area at one end of it. We do hay rides, playground. It's a family campground.
Mm-hmm.
And then for us, the horses, we run around 25 trail horses. And then we have stalls that we board in. We do short-term and long-term boarding both. And we have riding arenas. And what else do we have? What else are you asking for?
Okay, so you've got 110 campsites. Are these electric and water campsites? Do you have easy access for big rigs?
Hold on, I'm going to let Debbie answer all these questions. That's why I brought her in.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, about our campsite, we do have 110 campsites. Probably about 2/3 of those campsites are full hookup campsites, which are electric, water, and sewer. We have 30 and 50 amp service, so we can have a big rig or a smaller rig available. But however, we do allow tenting and pop-ups too. And one thing with a lot of the horse people that come, one of the main questions that they ask, are they allowed to camp in their horse trailer? And of course you're allowed to camp in your horse trailer. However, if you're not the camping type, we do have cabins available for people to stay in also.
Well, tell us a little bit more about the cabins and what you have in your cabins, how many they sleep.
Okay, we have a total of five cabins. There are some of our cabins that sleep from 2 to 4 guests and other cabins that sleep from 2 to 6 guests. They're absolutely fully equipped. It's just like a little house. All of your kitchenware and cookware, bed linens, everything is provided with the exception of your bath towels. And they start at $119 a night.
Okay, and she said that you do have an arena. Do you have, like, little events there? Do people just use the arena to exercise their horse?
Okay, we run we run a horse camp in the summertime, Christmas time, and spring break for the kids, mm-hmm. and uh, we've we used that, you know, the arena for the lessons in the morning time for the camp kids. And we also, you know, just people work, we ride in clinics, and we practice here, and I give lessons also, individual lessons. And we also do Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, and do their, and we have a badge program for them.
Oh, neat. What kind of facilities do you have for the horses themselves? Is it tie-outs? You have barns, corrals?
No, well, we have two barns, but we don't stall anybody at night except for somebody that's hurt or needs a little special attention. And we have, during the day when the trail horses are ready to go, on the barn is a huge shed out from the barn, and they're underneath shade when they're not working. And then at night, we turn them out in pastures. We have about 40 acres of pasture land.
What about those that bring their own horses? Do they have places on the campsites themselves?
No, ma'am. But the campsite, it's, you can walk from the campground down to the barn. And they can do stall board or they can do paddock board as long as we have a paddock available.
Okay, okay.
We try to accommodate. If they want to turn their horses out and keep them out in the paddock, then we do our best to switch our horses around so they'll have one.
Okay.
And they need a phone. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, they just need to bring their own, you know, grain and hay with them.
All right. And you had mentioned that you've some of the other activities, you've got a pond that you allow them to fish on, and you do hay rides and things like that for the kids. What about other area attractions? Do you have other area attractions that's around your facility?
Debbie, just hold that thought, because there are some pretty cool area attractions that we want to talk about. But before we do that, we need to talk about another one of our sponsors, and that is Trail Guard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance with unlimited vehicle towing to a dealership that services your make vehicle, a second tow vehicle to get you to your trailer, horses home or to your destination, and 24-hour coverage for you and your vehicle, one that you're driving or anyone driving your vehicle, and a 24-hour personal assistant to help you plan your trip and much, much more. Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, and that is guarding you down life's trail. You can learn more about Trail Guard today at trailguard.org. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Debbie and Sonia and Tina May and learn more about their facility there and some of the great attractions that are very close to Track Rock Campground and Stables. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
From the rolling of green pastures to where the sagebrush meets the pine, we'll do our bidding to the land we'll leave behind. Welcome in the highlands and the summer day so long. Little piece of heaven sitting on the cowboy's throne, looking for the solace in my soul. Smile as I listen to my pony's cricket roll. From the misty haze of twilight, when the night horse rings her bell, roll it up, saddle up, and hit that loving trail. Ride off towards the mountains and the snow-capped covered peaks, hoping that beyond the pass you're waiting there for me to put an end to this long and lonely road. Smile as I listen to my pony's cricket roll. hole, paradise to Cami High. These trails all lead you home, and I'm through with days of wandering, so I'm coming home to stay. The only view I need is looking through the ears of that old bay, waiting for the solace in my soul. Smile as I listen to my pony's cricket roll. I found the solace in my soul. Smile as I listen to my pony's cricket
That is Trinity Seeley and her great song, Cricket Roll, and we're back talking with Sonia and Debbie Alexander at Track Rock Campground and Cabins in Blairsville, Georgia. And gosh, there's so many things that you have on your campground itself to talk about, but it's a beautiful, beautiful campground as well. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Okay. Whenever you drive up to our place, it surprises you because you go up a hill, a small paved road, and there's woods on both sides, and when you get to the top of it, it all opens up into a beautiful valley. And we're like a cove. We're nestled back up with mountains on both sides of us. And you have it heavily wooded with fields, and we have beautiful mountain stream running through the middle of it that we cross with the horses. And then when you're looking down from the top of the hill, when you first come into the campground, when you see the lake and the cabins and the mountains behind that, and it's breathtaking. In the mornings,
oh, wow,
when clouds are lifting and the sun's coming up because it faces east, it's just so beautiful.
Wow, wow, wow. Well, you've got some great photographs on your Facebook page and on your website, and one of the things that happens with folks today, they stay so busy in their day-to-day life, and it's just really great to find a place that they can go and enjoy the beauty of nature and spend some time to wind down and enjoy their horses, as well as all the amenities that you have there at Track Rock. I know Tina May's always interested in what the non-horsey folks have to do. Tina May?
Oh, absolutely, because, every once in a while you have the one that's the horse-riding person, and then they have a significant other that likes to go with them, but they're not necessarily there to ride the horses. What are some of the other activities and the other area attractions that would appeal to them?
All right, we have numerous festivals going on constantly in the area, and my brother even has a hammer-in several times a year where he has all these guys come and make knives, or they learn how to make knives.
Oh, wow.
And that's always, it's a 3-day event, and that happens here at the campground, the Hammer Inn does. And we have the Scottish Festival and the Green Bean Festival, and it just goes on, Sorghum Festival. There's also a John Campbell Folk School within a half an hour drive that they have classes and activities there. We have whitewater rafting, tubing, antiquing, Vogel State Park. It's a beautiful state park, and it's about 10 minutes from us. Zip lining. That's adventurous. And then we have Helen, Georgia, which is a German town just across the mountain from us, and that's about 35 minutes from us. Dahlonega, Georgia, which is a gold town, and it's about the same distance, just beautiful. We have the highest mountain in Georgia right down from us, and that's Brassdown Ball. And there's plenty to do here. Tubing,
oh, wow.
If you don't want to raft, you want to just go down a tube, you can do that. People enjoy that a lot. And golfing, we have a number of golf courses around. And a lot of times the husbands will drop off the wives, and they'll go golfing, let the wives stay here and go horseback riding.
I've seen that happen often. Hey, I've got to ask you, when you talked about Helen, Georgia, they've got to have some great German food in that town.
Oh, they do. There's a number of restaurants there, and any of them are great. And just going to the shop is a lot of fun, just to sit there and people watch. Outside, the way the shops are, the streets are lined with these German, you know, German houses, German buildings, and it's just really neat.
Well, so people definitely need to bring their camera.
Oh yes.
To take pictures not only at Track Rock, but also when they visit Helen as well, I would think, because
yes.
I believe you told me that was built to look like a German town.
It is. It was.
Yeah, that is just too cool. That is too cool. Well, and you're just, and I think you said you were pretty close to Asheville. I'm sure that you have guests that come and stay with you that might make that drive to visit probably the Biltmore. How close are you to
yes.
Asheville?
2 hours. Yeah, we're 2 hours from Atlanta, from Chattanooga, Tennessee, Atlanta, Georgia, Asheville. And so you can just kind of just take a day trip. And that's what we do. We go up to Biltmore House and go out to eat up there and just do it in a day trip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, of course, you've got so many activities on your place. And again, the scenery is just absolutely gorgeous there. So if you want to just come and bring a book and sit back and relax and enjoy the scenery and spend a few hours out riding, what an ideal place
yeah.
to come.
Well, right down the Appalachian Trail comes right near our area also. And
so,
there's one more stop after our county, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So we're almost at the end of it.
All right. So great opportunities to do some hiking if you'd like to
yes.
as well.
And waterfalls. They have lots of waterfalls. And so there's
all people love the waterfalls.
Yes, they love the waterfalls. They have it.
Well, Debbie,
do you
know,
have a lot of water thing on your trails?
Do we have a lot of water on our trails?
Do you have a lot of water crossing on the horse trails?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, people love that. Okay.
Yeah, nothing. We don't have anything real deep and scary, unless it's rained really hard.
Well, in Gary's case, you don't
Gloria.
Want nothing real high scary.
No, I don't like heights. I don't like to ride where I have to look down and I can't see the bottom. So that's not a good thing for me.
No,
hey,
it's not.
Debbie Desanya was telling me that you have quite a few visitors from out of the country that come and spend time with you.
Oh, yes. Actually, there have been several. It really surprises me because I really don't know how they find us. It must be on the internet. But we've had several guests from England, Denmark, Germany. We've had some people from Belgium and Greece. We haven't had too many in the South American or Asian visitors, but we've had a lot of visitors come from the European area, Switzerland. It's just amazing how people find us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you've got a beautiful facility there, and you're not every location have horses that people can come and rent. And actually, I've got some friends, the Horse Sluts. And that's the title of their book. But these two ladies love to travel all over the country. They don't own horses, but they love to be able to go to different places and ride. And I happen to know that they have put you on their bucket list. So,
oh.
Yeah, you'll have to watch for Penny and Candace to make it up to visit you guys, because I know they were talking about that online yesterday. But let's tell folks where they can find you on the internet and Facebook.
Okay. We have a website for the stables, which is trackrockstables.com. There's
okay.
also a website for the campground and cabins, which is trackrock.com. And we each have a Facebook page. The campground's Facebook page is Track Rock Campground and Stables. And the Sonia's Facebook page is Track Rock Stables. And there
okay,
are tons of pictures, lots of reviews. Folks can get lots of information and really get a feel for our place by looking at our Facebook pages.
Okay, and track rock is one word, because I know I was looking on Facebook yesterday, and I separated those, but it's one word, so that's track rock. And,
yes, it is.
And great, great website. I visited the website and spent time there, as well as on their Facebook page, and just great pictures. I mean, you take a look at the place, and you're going to say, I got to go and spend some time there. And bring your horses or ride theirs, and it is a great facility. And Sonia, it's just amazing that you've had this facility now for so long in your family, and you started at such a tender age running that yourself, and still enjoying every minute of it, I'm sure.
Oh, horses make your heart happy. What more can I say?
Horses do make your heart happy. They really do. Well, you ladies have been great guests, and again, we want to encourage people to visit them on Facebook as well as their website. And you know, you're not that far from Nashville, Tennessee, so I guess
no, we go there on vacation. We love Nashville.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll have to take a trip up and visit with you. So thank you for taking the time to be with us today, Sonia. It wasn't so bad, was it?
Oh no, and thank you very much for asking. We really appreciate it.
We love having you on, and love coming to visit your place. And I've got to try some of that German food down in Helena.
Oh, yes.
That would be a neat place to visit. So, anyway, thanks so much for being with us.
All right. Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Tina Mae Weber. We've got some final thoughts and some announcements that we want to make as well. So you're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio. Heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
When shadows come a-stealing, and you get to feeling crazy as a loon, that's just the moonlight in your eyes, oh, roll on Texas moon. When dawn is gently breaking, and the coyote's making with his mournful tune, that's just the way he has of saying, roll on Texas moon. That's the only time the owl gives a hoot through the day, he hasn't a knack. Then a star on high up and winks his eye, and a bold little heifer winks back. It's like a slice of heaven, starting out about seven, ending much too soon. You'd better hasten, time is wasting, roll on Texas moon. The wolf ventures out, he's about just to try in his luck, while the bird above just sings of love and a sweet little doe saying, hiya buck. It's like a slice of heaven, starting long about seven, ending much too soon. You'd better hasten, time is wasting, roll on Texas moon, roll on Texas moon, roll on.
Little Riders in the Sky there, roll on Texas moon. And we've had a fun show today talking with Susanna Gibson and also with Sonia and Debbie Alexander from Track Rock Campground and Stables. And we remind you that Saddle Up America is made possible by the support of Trailhead Supply, your full-service online horse packing supply store. You can shop with them online at trailheadsupply.com, and TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance, founded with one mission in mind, guarding you down life's trails. Learn more about TrailGuard today at trailguard.org. And Tina Mae, tell us a little bit about the Legacy Club.
Absolutely. Our Legacy Club is free. The Legacy Club offers great discounts to our members from our Legacy Club sponsors, select campgrounds, dude ranches, and even Western Adventures. As a Legacy Club sponsor, you are automatically, or member, excuse me, you are automatically entered into our drawings for a free prizes, like our end-of-the-year prize of a two-horse Hydro Horse system from our premier sponsor, Hydro Horse. And our monthly prize drawing, like this month's $100 gift certificate from our select sponsor, Tucker Tack. And we have an additional special going on, and it's through our show sponsor, Trail Guard, and they're having a sizzling summer special. It's 20% off, and as a Legacy Club member, you also get an additional 20% off for Trail Guard. It's a wonderful... Wow. Roadside of service.
Wow, wow. So that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. And, of course, all of Equestrian Legacy Radio shows are made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the Western and equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And shop with them there and support them as well. And Tina May, we've made a lot of changes to the website lately, so they can find Legacy Club sponsors in the General Store now and shop all in one spot. And we've indicated the Legacy Club sponsors there, so you'll know who they are. And we've also made some changes to both our homepage and what's coming up on this week on Equestrian Legacy Radio. So check out the website for those changes. It's easier to listen to the shows now right from the website. And got a lot of exciting guests coming up. Thursday on the Campfire Cafe, we're going to be joined by a great young artist named Rusty Ryerson. And he's got a song right now that is just climbing the country charts. So you're going to enjoy listening to Rusty. And we'll also be visiting with some great folks from Canada who have a bitless bridle that we're going to talk about. So we'll be discussing a little bit about bitless versus bits with your horses. And that's on Thursday. And then a great show on Sunday on Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale, with Ernie Martinez, an unbelievable musician and just an all-around great guy. So that's going to be a fun show there. And who do we have coming up on Tuesday on Saddle Up America?
Well, next Tuesday, we are traveling to Nemo, South Dakota, and we're going to talk with Doug Lindgren. He's the owner of Hay Creek Ranch.
All right, so that will be a lot of fun, too, as always. You know, it's a lot of fun, too, going across the country, visiting these different campgrounds and guest ranches and dude ranches, and such neat, neat people with wonderful facilities, and they're all so different. You know, there's so many places to go and visit and ride across North America. And it's great that we have so many folks that come from out of the country to experience everything that we have to enjoy and share here. And, you know, I just hope that folks don't, because we live here, I hope you don't take these things for granted, because we've been blessed with beautiful country, beautiful trails to ride on, and great people and great communities to visit, with so many different activities that are taking place in small town USA. So it's just pretty cool. Pretty cool. You always have some great final thoughts. Do you have anything that you want to share with our audience today?
Well, I just want to let people, you know, be aware of the condition of your horse. If you bring your canine, know your water sources out on the trails, and just, you know, be prepared. You know, sometimes the heat and this humidity can kind of catch them off guard. I've heard a lot of kind of some tragic stories out on the trail. Just know where your water sources are. Pay attention to your horse, your dogs, if you ride with your dogs, and be prepared.
All right. So that's good advice. And we are going through a lot of really strange weather from one side of the country to the other. A lot of humidity back here in the southeast right now. And so take precautions for yourself and your livestock as well. And, you know, Tina Mae, since we did this show last Tuesday, we had five servicemen in Chattanooga, just about an hour and a half from me, that lost their lives through a terrorist attack. And we want to remember all of our servicemen and women, but especially these five, honor them and their families and their memories. And some had served out of the country, but they all are providing service to try to keep us safe, and they needlessly lost their lives. We would encourage you to, if you have a flag, fly that at half mast, and let's honor our servicemen and women wherever they are, and thank them for their service and their sacrifice for the country. But anyway, that's the show for today on Equestrian Legacy Radio. We appreciate you being with us. We remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio. And we'll close the show out today with a great song by R.W. Hampton, My Country's Not for Sale. Thanks for listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
There's a trail of blood back through the sacred halls of history. Follow it back to where our fathers fought and died. Across the way, see the crosses on the hillside. On the wind, hear their voices as they cry. We've got to get back to the faith of our fathers and find our way back to the Liberty Bell and never forget that old flag and all she stands for. It's time to rise up and say this country is not for sale. She's not for sale. From Valley Forge they're calling. Not for sale. From Gettysburg they cry. From Belleau Wood to the battle for Fallujah. She's not for sale. No, not at any price. There was a time when we all stood together. There was a time when by fire we were tried. But we've lost our way. It's a way that costs so dearly. It's not too late to saddle up and ride. We've got to get back to the faith of our fathers and find our way back to the Liberty Bell and never forget that old flag and all she stands for. It's time to tell Washington my country's not for sale. From the Alamo to the sands of Iwo Jima, from Normandy to the Chosun Reservoir, back to Bataan, to the mighty Mekong Delta, from the Helmand Province to the Solomon's bloody shores, they cry, we gotta get back to the faith of our